Welcome to the 12th episode of the Animal Addicts podcast. On today's episode, Casey and I both share some interesting articles, talk about some animals from a giant island in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and learn about a very unique underwater creature. The struggle is real on this week's challenge. Don't forget to check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon. But enough dilly-dallying, let's dive into episode 12 of the Animal Addicts podcast. Hello and welcome to the 12th episode of the Animal Addicts podcast. As always, we're your hosts, Allie.
And Casey.
Slash Michael Myers. I mean, this is very COVID protected, but like, it is no one can hear you. And he's been decapitated. Casey is continuing his costume things and has changed from his mad scientist slash Jesse Pinkman. I looked it up, not Pinkerton, and has now dressed up as Michael Myers. Aren't you hot?
Not that much. I actually took an entire chemistry exam wearing this.
I know, that's like a jumpsuit. Like,
yes, my chemistry professor gave me props at the end.
That looks very hot. Anyway, okay. Yes, so rabbit trailing again off the git. Here we go. What are we talking about today, Casey? What have you been up to aside from dressing like Michael Myers? We're getting closer to Halloween, spooky time.
The best time. Yeah. So I'm back in school.
Yeah.
Getting into the flow of things. Probably my favorite class right now is entomology. And
bugs.
That's the study of insects.
Bugs.
No, not. Okay, so
there is only
one group order that is the true bugs. That's Hemipteras. Yeah.
Okay, well, someday we're going to do a... That should be your next biology lesson. You should do a breakdown of entomology stuff and bugs and...
I would love to.
We'll do that. We'll do that for a bio lesson.
But yeah, those are the true bugs. The name translates hemi meaning half and terra means wing, so half wing.
I have half a wing.
Half a wing, but there's half a... You know like how beetles have that sheath covering their wings?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that, but only half the wing.
That's still confusing as shit. But okay, great. We're just going to do, that's going to be a bio lesson. I've decided, I have made this choice. That's your next bio lesson.
Alrighty.
So we should do that next month.
But yeah, those are true bugs. Like, also, roly-polies are not bugs.
But I love them.
Yeah, but they're not insects.
What are they?
Crustaceans.
Oh my god, that's even cuter though. So that's fine. Okay, I love them. Did you used to have roly-poly... races when you were a kid?
Yes.
Oh my god. It's so great.
Yep.
I love them. Every time I see one on the sidewalk, I'm like, stop everything. We must rescue it and get it into the bushes so it doesn't get stepped on. Yes.
I also learned why earwigs are called earwigs.
Why?
Their wing, when it's out, is shaped like an ear.
Really?
Yes.
I assumed it would be the pincher sticking out and look like you had hair in your ears.
No. Yeah, they don't go in your ears really at all.
I know, but that was like, oh, so now I want to see that. I've never seen one with a wing out.
Neither have I.
That looks like a... What does it look like?
It resembles
it looks like
an ear.
I want to see this. I don't believe this. Okay.
It's kind of weird looking.
That's very... You're weird looking.
Yeah, I've never seen them flying or with their wings even out.
No, nor have I.
Yeah.
I just have to stop the cat from eating them. Continue.
Yeah, so anyway, one of my... I have a project for that class, and it's insect collecting. So I have to go and collect insects that are representative of 12 orders...
Okay.
Of insects. And from two of those orders, I have to collect representatives of one representative from five families per order.
Okay.
That's just for two of them. And I have learned there's like no insects at my house.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, which is crazy because you're out in the boonies.
Yeah. So there's the only insects I find are really ants, flies.
Didn't you say you found, like, beetles or something?
I have seen, like, two beetles. Also, keep in mind, beetles are the most diverse group of animals on the planet.
You heard it here, folks.
There's 350,000 species.
That's a lot of beetles.
And I again, also, the two I found were the same species.
That's really annoying.
Yeah. And then I have plenty of spiders, so if it was arachnology, I would have plenty of specimens. I did find two brown widows.
Ew.
Yeah. I actually took pictures of them. I'll probably post them later.
Do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny because, like, because there's methods for killing insects, and it's like my mom's and sister are, like, calling me an insect murderer.
Yeah.
But then they, it's like, squish the spider when I told them about
it. I just take them outside.
Yeah. Although, might have been a good thing if I did, because brown widows aren't native to California.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I was talking to one of my friends the other day, and apparently that my university has found that, this is from her, I haven't actually looked it up, so I'm taking her word for it, that there have been instances of widows and brown recluses hybridizing and creating, like, these really large offspring.
Well, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
We don't want to see that.
Yeah. I wanted to look it up. It's like, I've never seen it or heard of that.
Yeah, I feel like you'd be the type of person who would do that on purpose, and you would breed them and make a little army of spiders.
Why would I breed hybrids?
I don't know. Wow, you're a purist. Jeez, okay.
There's no point in hybrids. Like, hybridization occurring naturally is very rare.
Okay.
There's the species barriers that needs to be kept like that.
Okay. Anyway.
So, yeah. So far, I have collected a moth, a beetle, an earwig, a cockroach, a wasp, and a bee, and a fly. It was a bot fly, too, and they're really disgusting.
Why are they really disgusting?
Because of what they eat.
Ew.
Yeah.
Is it?
Put two and two together.
A bot fly? What is a bot?
It might be bot or bog fly. I might have misheard it when my professor was talking about them, because we're talking about flies later, and, like, they have weird mouth parts that kind of looks like a sponge, sort of.
Ew.
Because they... But how they eat is they spit up saliva, it pre-digests the food, and then they slurp it up.
Ew.
Yeah. And then there's flies with modified mouth parts where they'll drink your blood.
We didn't talk about vampire flies when we talked about our...
No, and I've been bitten by flies, too.
Yeah, horses get bit by them all the time.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah. I have learned from horses.
At least with mosquitoes, they make it so you don't feel it.
Yeah, but then it itches later if stuff goes down.
Yeah.
I've learned from horses. I usually wear my hair in a ponytail, and I have literally learned from watching horses when they shake their tail to get rid of flies. I do that, and I'm like, go away, instead of batting it with my
hands. I used to when I had hair.
You throwing your shaved hair right now is amazing.
Sometimes I...
That wouldn't work. Your hair was too short, though, to really bat at them.
I used to let it really grow out, and it was like, I would just... Whenever we get in my face, I'd be used to just flipping it a bit.
No, you need to have long hair so it can flip about and hit it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That was a bad habit. I still do it sometimes. It was like, I have nothing to do this with.
Poor horses. Anywho's. Yeah, so insects.
Yes. It's also not the best time of year for insect collecting.
As it gets colder.
Because it's getting colder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though California cold is very different than, like, Montana cold.
Yeah. True.
But still, it's cold. Our native species are like, ugh, I'm going to say it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm a native Southern Californian. It's cold for me, too. They're wimps, just like us. Anyway.
What have you been up to?
So, working, as usual, and life. But I was stopping at Staples the other day to get some stuff for work, actually, and for some other projects. And of all places, I found this at Staples. So, you know how they have the, like, impulse buys when you're waiting in line to get the register? Oh, I haven't tried it yet. Another thing I got, I'll have to do a report if I actually like it. They also had the straws, the reusable straws, like in a little case, but they're silicone. But then they come so it can, like, fold up and then it can fold back out. So I haven't actually tried it. I totally forgot to, like, wash that and try it. I don't know if that's going to work, but I just like the fact that it was a case and you could just, like, hook it on, because that's what I really want, is one that can fold up and take with you.
I had one that had a case. It was metal.
Yeah.
Then the thing broke, so I couldn't keep it attached to my... Also, a lot of times, I'm not the one driving.
Oh, yeah.
So I wouldn't bring it a lot of times.
Oh, well, anyway. But yeah, I totally forgot I got that. So that was another impulse buy at in the line. But what they had, 90s baby coming through. Well, 90s kid. I wasn't a baby in the 90s.
I was a baby in the 90s.
Yeah, hush up. Was a Gigapet AR. So I don't know what that is. I guess that's the new... Like, in Casey, words are hard again. Oh, my gosh. The new round of of GigaPets, and I'm not going to lie to you, if they had a koala, I would have bought it right there as an adult on the spot, because I had a koala GigaPet when I was in, like, middle school, I think, mm-hmm. and I love that thing.
Exhausted too, aren't we?
I am sorry. I thought I would sleep, but I haven't.
I actually woke up early before my alarm did. It's like, what's going on?
I also have a cat.
It's also because I have morning classes, so it's like I'm always waking up early.
Yeah.
Even on the weekends, it's like...
Well, I do too from work, but then the cat is... Because of things going on right now, the cat's in with me, and she wakes mm-hmm. me up, and it's just a whole thing. Anyway, so... But yeah, so they had a GigaPet. I almost bought it anyway. I'm not going to lie. It was a T-Rex, and I almost bought it. I think it was like $10. And it looks like you could actually like transfer it to your phone too and play it on your phone. So I'm like, okay, that makes sense. That'd be easy. But anyway, so then I went home. I didn't buy it in the store. I was strong, everybody. And then later I went home and searched on Amazon. And endless. And they have a puppy, a T-Rex, and a unicorn. Mm-hmm. I have half of mine to get the unicorn one or the puppy one. But I really, because I wanted a GigaPet puppy, but I got a koala. Yeah. But now I'm like, I want the koala. Is that like, I mean, it's all pixels, but like it had a big old nose and big old ears, and I loved it. But anyway, yeah, so that's my animal related news, was just being an adult in the line at Staples, almost buying a GigaPet.
See, I have learned over the years that when I'm responsible, go to grocery store or buy stuff, and it's like, I'm going to reward myself every time I go. And it's like, and I buy something I don't need.
Yeah.
And then I forget what I actually needed, because I'm one of those people that should write notes and never does.
You don't bring a list when you go grocery shopping?
No, I need to.
Yeah, you do.
I went grocery shopping with my sister the other day, and neither of us made lists. And it's like, was there more I was supposed to buy?
That is, I don't know how you function without having a list.
I don't function.
I had one time I went to Target and I forgot my list. Mm-hmm. And I only had a couple things. And I'm like, shoot, what was the last thing? I'm walking around. I'm like, oh, God, what was there? Something else I needed. I got like the two other things I needed. And there's like one more thing. And then I lucked out and a man was walking toward me, you know, going toward the front of the store. And he had lotion. I was like, lotion! It was lotion! I was like, thank you, strange man, mm-hmm. who's carrying the item I needed. So I could be like, oh, lotion's what I needed. That was the third thing. Anyway, so... Yeah, but I hate those. I don't know how. Yeah, you got to write a list, man.
Yeah.
I also am just someone who likes lists. I especially like crossing things off a list. Mm. Ugh. Mm. It's so...
It's a good thing I didn't bring a list, because there was a lot of stuff I could not get because they were out.
Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find a lot of times I have to go, especially because I have to get celiac stuff for my grandma. So I have to go to multiple grocery stores usually because they don't always have everything.
I did the 23andMe. And it says I have a gene that's a precursor for celiac disease.
I mean, that would make sense with you.
Yeah.
It just makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, you're supposed to limit your sugars anyway, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of the celiac stuff is like baked goods and stuff that has a lot of sugar in it. So, I mean, mm-hmm. that's already.
Yeah, but it's so good.
I know. It is. I feel very bad for her. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and also celiac stuff is really expensive. Celiac, by the way, is gluten-free, if you didn't know that. But that's not just someone who's making a choice to go gluten-free. It's someone who gets very sick. They get very sick if they eat any gluten. Yeah. So
don't be gluten-free if you're
not. Yeah.
There's no health benefit to it.
I will say, though, at Jersey Mike's, they have some gluten-free cookies. And I will feel bad sometimes, because if there's only one left, I won't take it. Because if there's someone with actual celiac who comes in or an actual allergy, then I'm like, oh, I should leave that for them. Mm-hmm. But they're really good. They're schnickerdoodles. Yeah. Oh, my God, they're so good. Also, there's really good gluten-free pizza.
Mm. I've had gluten-free pizza.
Yeah.
I've also had other gluten-free bakery stuff, because my friend has, like, every single digestive problem on earth.
I have a friend
like
that,
so she worked at a vegan gluten-free bakery,
mm-hmm.
and she would bring me baked goods and stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the things I love were these cupcakes that had this lavender, like, lavender chocolate icing. It was so good.
I don't know how I feel about that.
It's so good, man.
I bet it's not.
It is. Thing is, when you have, like, those kind of, like, it's rose something. It's, like, these flower kind of flavors. You have to put in, like, the perfect minute amount. So you get because you just need a hint of it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's just, it tastes like you're eating perfume.
Ew.
Yeah. It's like, so it's just a tiny bit amount, but that little accent makes it good.
See, I'm a really picky eater, so I don't think I'd like any of this. Mm. But anyway, we are way off the subject of animals. But anyway, yes, grocery stores and actually having a list is very helpful.
Yeah.
Plus, now I'm always spending so much time with the eggs, and I'm like, oh, are they range-free? Are they also, not range-free, are they cage-free? Are they free-range? And are they, you know, all that stuff, and I wind up buying them more. Also, they're not that much more expensive. So those eggs aren't that much more expensive to get the cage-free ones.
Yeah.
But yet gluten-free stuff is, like, twice the price of normal stuff. It's very frustrating.
Yep.
Anyway, it's not nice to do that to people who have an allergy, because it's also becoming more and more prevalent. So, like, I don't know. It sucks.
I think we just let... This is me being evil.
Okay.
Just let natural selection take its course.
Okay, if natural selection took its course, I'd be dead, because...
So would I!
Yeah, we'd both be dead, because I'm basically blind, so I wouldn't survive, because I wouldn't see predators coming.
Yeah.
Or I wouldn't be able to find my food, either. My face would have to be, like, you know, 10 inches away to get it.
Yeah.
Anyway, most people wouldn't survive if natural selection were still in place.
True.
Which isn't necessarily bad. Overpopulated and. But anyway, wow, that rabbit trail went off to a dark place. It's a good thing it's Halloween time. It's spooky time. Anywho, so maybe we should get back on track and talk about some animal stuff.
Yes.
So, are you gonna go first, or am I gonna go first?
Mine's shorter, so I will go first.
Okay, sounds good. Go for it.
Okay, so the title of this article, airdropping sensors from moths.
This makes me think of, like, drones.
Yeah, it is related.
Okay.
Okay, so this was done by researchers from the University of Washington, because they are working on ways to deploy sensors into hard-to-reach and occasionally dangerous areas to conduct research.
Okay.
Yes. So they developed a sensor that only weighs 98 milligrams.
Wow.
Just to put that in perspective, that is 1/10 the weight of a jelly bean.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really tiny. And so this is light enough where it can be carried by a drone or a moth.
Okay.
Or other kind of insects. And the reason why moths and insects are being considered over drones is because moths and other insects can sustain flight longer, and they are just more mobile and better able to navigate, like, narrow spaces than drones would be able to.
Okay. Are they going to train the moth to drop this thing?
No, the moth will just... So how it works is the moth, or whatever insect they end up using, will just fly over, and once they get to the location where they want to deploy the sensor, there's a Bluetooth... the researcher would just hit a command, and by Bluetooth, it would deploy the sensor to drop off from the moth and land. And the sensor has been designed where it can survive a drop from up to 72 feet.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm just, sorry, you're probably going to go over it first, and then I'll ask questions at the end.
So basically how they designed the sensor is when it falls, it will reach no more than 11 miles per hour. And based off of that speed, the height at which it can be dropped without it getting damaged is 72 feet.
Is that its natural terminal velocity, or is that it has a way of slowing its speed?
Not quite sure. It didn't go into that much detail.
Okay.
Yeah, and so these sensors would be collecting data like temperature and humidity, and right now they operate off a battery, so they could work for up to 3 years.
Wow, okay, that's pretty good.
And they may start deploying these worldwide once they develop a retrieval system for the sensors.
And eventually will they not be able to get the data until they retrieve them, or is it going to be...
I'm pretty sure it's active while they're still operational.
Okay.
Yeah, and the hope is that eventually they will have, like, some kind of solar-powered cell that they will use to power these.
This also sounds like science fiction, and, like, it could go evil really fast. Like, real fast. But also, how does it attach to the moth, and how do they get a moth to hold still to put this on it?
So, in terms of attaching to the moth, I'm not quite sure, but I know for the sense, because there's this little pin thing that the sensor is attached to, which is... I can't remember the exact terminology used for it, but basically, it's a little magnetic pin. And then once they push the signal for the Bluetooth, it causes a current to release the magnetic, the magnetic stops, and then that releases the sensor.
This seems interesting, also terrifying. This is the birth of Skynet, basically.
See, the thing that... Go ahead. I'll
say no, that's basically it. It's like, this is the birth of Skynet. And I don't know how cooperative these moths are going to be. I don't want the moths and the other insects to be, like, bothered by this. And are they happy about bringing about Skynet?
I don't think they care, considering this thing is so light.
I don't know. But Skynet destroys the world. So, you know. But humans...
I don't know Skynet.
Oh, I haven't even watched all those movies, but it's the evil thing in Terminator. And it takes over everything, Casey. It's when the computers take
over.
I've
seen like one Terminator movie, and that was years ago.
Gosh, Casey, fix it. Fix it.
Yeah. But one thing that I always, well, sometimes talk to people about, and then they go immediately to science fiction, take over the world, is CRISPR.
What is that?
CRISPR is this technology for gene editing, where it can go into the genome, cut out a part that you don't want, and then insert some genetic material that you do want.
That is some sketch stuff.
Yeah.
That is playing God right there.
Yeah, it's CRISPR-Cas9, and one of the things, I know one research project they are attempting to use it on is for mosquitoes. I can't remember exactly what it does, but it inserts a gene drive so that there will be increased proportion of mosquitoes that are infertile.
Oh. Yeah. This just sounds like we shouldn't be
messing
with it.
Actually, I'm pretty sure one of the labs at my university works with CRISPR-Cas9 for mosquitoes.
This sounds like shit we should not be messing with. This is a very, very dangerous thing to be doing.
And then there's another project. This one's on the other side of the country, and they're trying to do something with rats isolated on an island using CRISPR-Cas9 to make it so they can't contract Lyme disease.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Be nice to not get diseases.
Yeah. And then there's also the prospect of using CRISPR-Cas9 to get rid of certain genetic disorders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that all that would be cool. So if you could knowingly ahead of time get rid of, you know, that pre... oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. What is it called? The pre... Not disposition, but... Whatever.
Pre-existing consistent.
Sort of to like getting Alzheimer's or diabetes or, you know, whatever it might be.
Like one, I remember my biochem professor was talking about this and is like talking about how this will be a pinnacle point for our own medical decisions personally and as society as a whole, because like one of the fears people have is like, will this result to people wanting to have some designer babies.
That's, exactly. I'm like, oh, I want a boy with blue eyes and brown hair and this tall. And
And we were actually talking about, I never looked into it more, but apparently there was a doctor in China, and I'm pretty positive he got arrested for this because he used CRISPR-Cas9 to make it edit the genes of these fetuses so they couldn't contract HIV. And a result of that is they're very susceptible to common cold.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's like, that's one thing is like, we don't know exactly how natural selection will work with this, because we don't, biochemical pathways are incredibly complicated. Like, I remember when I took genetics and we were talking about genetic pathways. We looked at some of them as like, yes, there's this where this gene will promote this gene and then suppress this other gene, which then activates this other gene. It's like it's like a food web. It's so intricately complex, and it's like we don't know exactly how all these things will work
and how they're interconnected and what that can wind up.
And then there's this problem now where there's some companies where they basically send out CRISPR kits for people to do genetic editing projects of their own. Some people have done stupid stuff, like they use CRISPR to genetically edit beagles so they will have higher muscle tone. And like, they're really muscular. I don't know why.
Who wants a muscular beagle?
I don't know, but they're jacked. And he tried using that same gene to and injected it into his arms to try to give him bigger biceps.
Oh my gosh.
Not only did it not work, he got sick because of that.
Yeah, that's not stuff we should be messing with.
Yes.
I don't know. That's a little too far.
This
I do like the idea.
This is what happens when, like, technology becomes available to the lay person and they don't have the discipline.
It should not be.
Of having the responsibility.
It should not be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's that's appropriate for Halloween because I think that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Okay. Mine is also somewhat appropriate to Halloween because we go from terrifying to devils. And my phone's about to die.
Bum, bum, bum.
That sucks. I don't have the charger set up. So, my story is something you may have heard about or seen recently that they have recently released some Tasmanian devils back to the mainland of Australia for the first time in 3,000 years. So, for the last 3,000 years, they have been exclusively on the island of Tasmania.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Tasmanian devil. Makes sense. But before that, they had actually lived there for 40,000 years. And there are kind of debates on what led to their destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Destruction, that sounds so dramatic.
Extirpation.
Yes. One hypothesis is they feel like it was when the dingoes were introduced, and mm-hmm. dingoes just kind of wiped them out. But then also, there was a group in 2013 in an ecology journal that they thought it might have more to do with the arrival of Aboriginal populations and just shift in climate and stuff. At one point also, they also introduced cats and foxes for hunting, which is so stupid. Like, hunting already, I hate, but like, I'm bored. Let's introduce a species that's going to fuck everything up.
Well, we've done that in
California. Yeah, but we didn't do that. Some stupid people did that.
Yeah.
But like,
they released deer onto the channel.
So dumb. So dumb. Why are we messing with the indigenous animals just because we're bored and we need to hunt? And also, you're so bored, you need to take life from something. Like, it's one thing to eat things, but like, ugh. Anyway, drives me nuts. So, anyway, so they had been wiped out from the mainland, and only on October 12th, very recently, they reintroduced eleven devils into a large preserve. And this was a project by a group called Aussie Ark. Haha, it's your turn to yawn now. And they're an animal preservation group organization. And they developed these as an insurance population for the species, which is listed as endangered by the IUCN Red List. International Union?
Yes.
Conservationalists?
International Union of Conservation of Nature.
Conservation of Nature. There we go. That's it. So they've released them there. And basically, it's going to be a large preserve that is fenced off, so they'll be protected from the current wildlife and everything, and they'll be able to. And they were also released with some other mammal species as well. But it's crazy because now Tasmanian devils are going to be on the mainland Australia for the first time in 3,000 years, which is pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really great news. So we hope they do well. Obviously, no dingoes will be getting to them in this preserve.
Dingoes always represent taxonomical and bioethical issues. Bioethics is interesting to get
Why
into.
Are they bioethical?
It's like, so there are those in Australia that want them deemed as pets.
Okay.
And then there's also people that would classify them as a native species, which is kind of odd because Australia was in isolation from the rest of the world for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and that's why you have all these marsupials over there, because placental mammals never evolved on Australia. The ungulates that are there's not very many, but there's like feral camels. Those were all introduced. Dingoes were eventually brought along as well. And dingoes, every time I look up their taxonomic classification, they are subspecies of dog, basically, mm-hmm. or wolf.
I mean, they look like a dog.
Yeah, because the scientific name is Canis lupus familiaris, which is basically a domestic dog scientific classification.
Okay.
Same thing with New Guinea singing dogs. It basically comes down to breeds of dogs that are feral and, well, not feral, they're wild now because they can survive on their own. Feral dogs don't survive on their own. And so there's debate on whether or not they can be classified as a distinct, their own species or what really they are.
Interesting.
And then there's people that's like, should it be perfectly legal to shoot them on site as pests, or should they be classified as Australia native wildlife and have protections? So.
Yeah, that's kind of all over the place with that.
Like, I also remember there was this Highland dog that was discovered a few years ago. Some people reported it completely wrong, saying it was a different species, and it's like, it's not a different species of dog, it's a different breed of wild dog.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a New Guinea singing dog, which is genetically is pretty much the same as a dingo. They're not separate species, they're basically breeds, which is very distinct from species, because they can interbreed and produce fertile offspring, whereas separate species in most cases cannot.
Can we just talk about the fact that you just seem annoyed by this entire... this whole thing.
Dude, when you get into systematics and classifications, we will fight, biologists will fight over everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why are you so fighty? Why can't you just be nice? Jeez.
There's a way to do things.
Oh my gosh. As a STEM person, like, versus an art person.
Like, even in paleontologists as well, there's like a time before we had synapses is now the term that we use. And then eventually was... no, wait, that's a different thing. Yeah, synapse is what we use for this one group. And it used to be called mammal-like reptiles. And there were paleontologists that used to get in arguments over like whether they should be called mammal-like reptiles or reptile-like mammals.
Oh my gosh. I've met these people, never mind. I've met them and they are infuriating.
But yeah, like, systematics is a lot of fun and interesting. I find it interesting.
I would get so... I don't think I could be a bio major because I get so sick of that shit. Like, I'm out. Anyway, yeah, but it's so great because I don't know if you've seen a Tasmanian. Well, I know you have, but
yes,
if
I
our
have.
Listeners have seen Tasmanian devils in person, I think they're so cute.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, unlike the Wolverine, that's so mean and scary. We're going to have to look into Tasmanian devils and see if they earn that name because, mm-hmm. I don't know.
They sound like it if you ever hear them.
Oh, okay. But I don't know. Like, the Wolverine is
an
pretty...
an ungodly fresh. Creature of hell.
An ungodly creature of hell.
And you hear them scream, it's like, ah!
The demons are here!
Yeah.
Anyway, but it's pretty cool. So they've been released, and there's more in the article, and I will post a link to the article about that. But that just happened, and it's really cool, because it's been 3,000 years, and it sucks that they had lived there for so long until something happened. So we'll see how they do and how these other species do. But it's exciting stuff. Yay! Yay, Australia, especially because they were so devastated by the fires earlier. So it's good to have some good news coming out of Australia.
I don't know if those fires were on Tasmania.
No, but I mean just the mainland of Australia.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Just got, like, wiped out. So now it's nice. It's like, oh, you have some good animal news. Because that was terrible and is terrible still.
Yep.
But anyway, Tasmanian devils, they do have them at the San Diego Zoo. That is where I have seen them. I think that's the only place I've ever seen them.
Yeah, there's not a lot of zoos that have
really
them.
Cute, you guys.
Yeah.
They're adorable. Oh, drink up. They're really cute. I think so many things are cute. We also had an argument about my cute things, and I was saying that some of our animals haven't been cute.
I would like to get into the argument of how Tasmanian devils became extinct on the mainland.
I know. It's already bugging you.
Yes, because it also reminds me of the different hypotheses for the fate of the Tasmanian tiger.
Those are so cool.
Yes, that's probably my favorite extinct animal.
I think that'd be mine too. They're so awesome looking.
And it's like, but that's the same kind of hypothesis too. It's like dingoes were introduced and then they outcompeted the thylacines. And then it's like the idea is that the thylacines were the main hunter of kangaroos. And then I remember reading about how that might be disputed because one characteristic about them is they have a huge... range in which they can open their jaw.
Okay.
So that would mean they have probably fairly weak muscles.
Okay.
So if they were like chasing after a roo and finally caught it and tried to grab it with their teeth, they might break their jaw based on their anatomy. I didn't read a whole lot into that, but I don't know that there's conflicts too. And then you get into bioethics of like de-extinction for the thylacine.
You are just like ready to go
off on
all of this.
Dude, I went on a rant when I took my higher biology course at my JC. We watched a TED talk on de-extinction. I went on a 2-page rant about it.
Was your professor just annoyed by this, or were they interested?
I don't know. I don't know. I never got any feedback on it.
Okay. Anyway.
But yeah, I have strong feelings about it.
Okay. Casey's a lot of strong feelings about a lot of things.
Yes, I do.
Anyway, but yeah, so crazy Skynet from Casey. That's creepy, but also fascinating. It's pretty cool, but also terrifying. And then Positive Devils. Yay!
Positive Devils.
Creepy and Devils. It's Halloween time. Woo! Spooky, spooky, spookies. Yeah, so that is, those are our stories, and I think we should get into, so it was my turn to pick the,
It is very random.
It is. It's not very random. I'm going to tell you why. It is not random. I'm going to tell you why. Let me explain.
I've heard why. It's still random.
Whatever, Casey. Okay, so we're trying to do like Halloween-y stuff, but I was also like, well, we're in the Atlantic Ocean, but we're totally ignoring some of these like island places. You know, we're going to have to do like a month on islands or something. I don't know how we're going to do this. But anyway, so I was like, okay, so we're going to the ocean. Next is going to be Europe. It's totally your turn now. But stop. You're going to spread
more coffee,
it to
man.
Me. Anyway, and I decided, let's get an animal from Greenland, because we're going to be passing Greenland, but we're not focusing on Greenland. And then I made this choice just because if we said any animal from Greenland, there's all the aquatic shit and there's all kinds of things. So I was like, okay. I started looking at animals from Greenland. I'm like, I'm going to say mammals. Mammals from Greenland, which are still aquatic mammals, but whatever. You know, so mammals from Greenland. What?
I said marine.
Whatever.
I need to make these distinctions.
Okay, well, fine. They're aquatic if it's freshwater, then?
Yes.
Okay, whatever. Are there no lakes in Greenland?
I don't know. Probably not. They're probably all frozen.
They probably are frozen. Are they frozen all year, though? Anyway, we're not experts on Greenland. But
I think it's Greenland where the glaciers melt and it makes these crystal blue lakes.
Ooh, pretty!
Over the glaciers.
We need to be rich so we can go check out all these places. Anyway,
just
we need to be
internship
rich.
Just get an internship to be a research associate.
Okay, great. I have zero qualifications for that. Qualifications. Oh my gosh. Rabbit trailing again. Casey. How did I not realize this potential?
What?
The Animal Addicts podcast. Our whole name. He's leaving. He's leaving. Our whole name could have been a pun. So just know in my heart, everyone, I think of it as the Animal Addicts podcast. Anyway, back to the thing. So yeah, so I decided we're skipping over Greenland, so let's go on Greenland. And then I just chose mammals because there were too many options and I couldn't decide. And when there was a mammal, I was like, done.
And she's a muggle, so she went with mammals.
Whatever. You're so difficult. You've stolen that term from me now, by the way.
Huh?
So now muggle refers to non-musical theater, non-nerdy, non-Disney freak, and non-bio majory. Muggles are everywhere. anyway, so yes, so I chose my choice first, or should you go your choice first?
I think we always do mine first, so let's go with yours.
Okay, my choice is so cute, and Casey beat me to one of these last time, and he's not gonna beat me to it this time. When I proposed this idea, I was like, I call this one. Mine is the Arctic Fox. Oh, they're so cute. I loved them so much. And their name, what?
You said cute.
Oh, I know. Oh, are we supposed to? Oh, gosh. People have to do shots with cute. That's going to be a problem. Anyway, their scientific name is Vulpes lagopus, something like that. And they are not super tall. They only get up to 11 inches tall and 20 to 26 inches long for their body, not including their tail. But then their tail can be anywhere from 10 to 16 inches. They're 17 pounds, which is surprising to me because they're not even a foot tall.
Yeah.
So they must have a layer of blubber or some stuff.
Well, not
to keep
blubber,
warm.
But they have to be thick. Thick to survive the winter.
You gotta be real beefy. They were injected with that beagle stuff.
Well, muscle's not good for insulation.
No, I mean fat. They have fat.
Yep.
But anyway, but they're so cute and fluffy. And their lifespan in the wild is usually about 10 years, and in captivity, they can go up to 16 years, generally. They are found in the tundra of the Arctic Circle, including Eurasia, North America, Greenland, which is why we're picking them, and Iceland. They have a white coat in the winter months, and then it switches to a brown coat in the summer months. And yes, Firefly fans, you should like them because they're brown coats. Anyway, and they're opportunistic feeders. They usually eat small mammals and insects and berries when those are available. So my little animal is eating all your bugs and all your insects, except for those insects aren't up there, so not those specific ones. And this is insane. They've also been found scavenging off polar bears.
Yeah.
Like, with a polar bear still present. They are some ballsy little things. Mm-hmm. They're just going for it. Anyway, I love them. They're adorable. I cannot read my own writing. Literally cannot read this. That's terrible. Anyway, as a result of climate change, they have found that some red foxes are spreading more north, further north, and starting to displace the Arctic foxes. And sometimes they're taking over their dens. I think the red foxes are bigger, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're bigger.
More
so
aggressive,
they can,
too.
Yeah, so they're going to go and push them out, which is mean. Don't be mean, foxes. I love foxes, just in general. And they are listed as least concern on the IUCN red list. Their population is stable. And also, once again, because I care about these things, they can run up to 50 kilometers per hour, which is 23 miles per hour when they're sprinting. Obviously, they don't maintain that. But they're fluffy, and they're cute, and they're I just love foxes. When I was a kid, I had a stuffed animal named Foxy. She's a fox. It was really, really inventive.
See, that's one thing I would be concerned with if you got into some money. Because I could totally see you getting one of those people's buying the quote-unquote domestic foxes from Russia.
That doesn't exist.
No, but there is a... They tried doing this thing where they were going to domesticate foxes for the fur trade, and then people started importing them as pets. And they do show some precursors to domestication, like... Generally, they're friendlier around people.
Yeah.
Their ears kind of show that floppiness that dogs got, and their tail wags.
They're so cute. Yeah. I follow a fox named Juniper Fox on Instagram, and they also have a new fox now they rescued. And they have a big old dog, too. But they will post. They'll be like, yes, they're very cute, but also these are the issues with them. And I get bit. And these and these and these. Like, so don't just think getting
they
a fox is cute.
They need to do that with the otter posts. Like, I have one friend that was like shows all these otter stuff. It's like, quit doing that. Bad idea.
Well, I had a friend when I was when I was younger, and her dad worked with the animal park and other places with like animal outreach. So he obviously had all the licensing. So they literally had wolves, and they had otters. They never had otters when I knew her, but they had otters. They had a bison. They had oh my gosh, what's that one? Not a quanmani. What's that other one? It's like it's a little gray binturong. Binturong, I think. Yeah. They had all kinds of these animals and stuff, but it was just so crazy because it was like, I've pet a wolf before through a chain link fence and for like 2 seconds because she was like, oh, nope, that's not, we're done. it's looking like it might want to be like, no. Anyway, but yeah, so that's crazy. But yeah, no, so foxes are not good pets, but they are really adorable.
Yes.
I would love to be, like as a druid, I'd kind of want that to be my familiar or my companion, except for they're two little hit points. But I just want a fox to just take with me in a fantasy world. Anyway, I love foxes. They're so cute. And the Arctic fox might be the cutest of all foxes. Mm. They're so fluffies. Yes. And they're little white fluff balls. And I love them. And I like watching them jump and... They're so cute.
I've never seen Arctic foxes doing that, but I've seen red foxes.
The red foxes definitely do it. I've seen an Arctic fox doing it, but not to the extent the red foxes do it. Mm. But anyway, so that is my pick for our... Mammal of Greenland. Tell us about yours, Casey. Yours is not as cute.
No, but mine's cooler.
Yeah, we'll see about
it's
that.
It's on a very different scale.
It's an entirely different scale.
Yeah. So I chose the muskox.
Mm-hmm.
Its scientific name is Ovibos muscatus. And it belongs to the subfamily Caprinae, which is colloquially called the goat antelopes.
What the hell? That is kind of cool. Okay.
Yeah. They're not antelopes. They're... And despite the name, they're muskox. They're not really closely related to bison or oxen. Their closest relatives are sheep and goats.
Okay.
Yeah. They're basically a giant goat.
Ugh, goats have such bad attitudes.
Yeah. And they have a bit different lifespan between males and females due to the lives they live.
Okay.
Males average about 10 to 12 years. Females about 15 to 18, and occasionally they can live into their 20s.
Get it, girls.
And there are sexually dimorphic species, with males getting larger than females. They weigh from 390 to 880 pounds.
Okay.
And they're about 6 to 7 feet long, and about 4 to 5 feet tall.
That's me, basically. I'm barely taller than a musk ox.
And they are a polygynous species. And what that basically means is there is a male with a harem of females that mm-hmm. he mates with. And it's really cool when there's like challenging males that come along. Because, you know, these guys take it to the extreme. Because they will back up a long distance.
Mm-hmm.
And then they decide to charge at each other. Then they're going full on at 35 miles per hour. And then you just hear a bang when they collide.
And they do their heads, right? They yes. do the headbutt thing?
Yep.
Oh. How do they not die?
There's adaptations in their skull. I can't remember exactly what it is. But it basically is an internal cushion. Like, even the horns itself, they're not, like, solid. They're pneumatic, which means there's a bunch of air in there.
Interesting.
And, yeah, so that helps absorb the impact. Another thing that's pneumatic are cranes. Otherwise, they'd topple over.
Okay.
Tires are also pneumatic.
That's all the things. Okay.
But, yeah, so it's still strong, but cushions the blow.
Okay.
Yes. And they are currently listed as least concerned by the IUCN Red List.
Mm-hmm.
And their populations have been assessed as stable as well.
Okay. Do people hunt them, or are they...
I have no clue.
Okay, great. I mean, they probably feed a lot of people. They're big.
Yes.
Don't they have that kind of, like, long...
Yes, very shaggy coats.
Yeah. They're kind of cool looking.
Point Defiance Zoo had a baby born not that long ago. He's really cute.
What if we were in Greenland... Or I don't know if they're all Arctic Circle, if they're just Greenland. But if we were up there and we could ride one of those as our battle beast, but then I'd have my little Arctic fox as my little, like, friend who could go and he could steal things. We'd go into enemy territory on my battle beast who's just going to run. I guess, though, when they run into something, you're going to get thrown.
Yeah, that's...
because physics.
Yeah, physics. Physics is not fun whether you're doing it or it's applied to you.
It's definitely not fun when it's applied to you. Yeah, but then I have a little fox, like, go and, like, be sneaky and, like, steal things. Anyway. I mean, yours is cool, too. I'm not like, dissing the musk ox. I'm just saying the Arctic fox is cooler. But that's okay. Anyway. But, yeah. So, stop! Guys, we are yawning. We were hoping. It's coming.
Where's my IV drip of caffeine?
I don't know. We both need it. We were hoping we'd be more awake and, like, our brains would be functioning better, but nope. Anyway. But yes. But unlike the Arctic fox. Oh, no. Sorry. Unlike the musk ox, more like the Arctic fox, although not. It's time for our aww. And our aww.
I need to pull it up.
Oh, no. Hurry up, Casey.
I normally have this stuff prepared.
Okay, get it together, Casey. We are a mess today.
I know.
We are tired people. We should have to just do quizzes when we're both really tired and just see mm-hmm. how terrible it'd be. Okay. We would not be smarter than a fifth grader. Are you ready? And our animal of the week this week is...
The giant isopod.
The giant isopod. I have no idea what that is, but tell us about it. Also, he's used an isopod in our alphabet challenges, and I don't know what they are. So we're all going to learn. Is that what they are?
Roly polies are a species of isopod.
Okay, well, that's not the same thing. But I know.
They kind of act the same way, though.
Okay. Yeah. Do they curl up a little? Tell us about them. Tell us about them.
So, the species I picked is Bathynomus giganteus.
Giganteus?
Yes.
Is it giganteus or giganteus?
I think it's giganteus. Okay. If you go to how you pronounce Latin.
Okay.
Yes. So, like I said, these are not insects. They come, I believe the class is Crustacea. Actually, okay. No, it's subphylum.
How dare you? Get it together, man.
Yeah, and they come from the order...
Now he's done.
Isopoda.
Okay.
Hence the name isopod.
Mm-hmm.
And so, just so you know, some etymology. By the way, etymology is the study of words.
Yes. I know, etymology and entomology can get confusing.
I know, my professor was like, we're going to look at the etymology of entomology. Yeah.
The lay person be like, what is any of this?
Yeah. So, iso means same. Poda means foot. So, it's same foot or same leg. Because their legs are the same throughout the body.
Meaning, like, the length is the same?
They're, like, identical.
Okay.
Length, shape, that kind of stuff.
I wish you could have seen his flailing. Anyway, identical legs. You took one leg, you cloned it, and it's everywhere. Okay.
Yes. They're from the family Cirrhalinidae.
Sure are.
It's basically a marine, the marine species of isopod.
Okay.
And these guys live deep down, by the way. Just give
deeper than the anglerfish?
I believe so, yes.
Wow.
Yes. And these guys specifically come from the genus Bathynomus, which are the giant isopods.
I just like that. Bathynomus is cool, but yes. Okay. How giant are giant isopods? You tell us.
We will get into
we'll get there
later.
I'm impatient.
But as I said, these guys are found in most of the world's oceans, and they are bottom-dwelling species, and live as deep as 7,020 feet below sea level.
That's pretty far down there.
Yes, it is.
It's more than a mile.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't even know how. I hate our system.
I know. It's 5,000 something, I'm pretty sure. I think it's 5,280. Oh my gosh, I want to know, but my phone's dead.
Yeah.
We'll look it up.
Yeah, it's so stupid. It's like, how many meters in a kilometer? 1,000.
I know.
It's
but we're America and we do everything our way.
Yeah. But, and the reason they live deep is because they prefer seafloor that is mud or clay as opposed to like sandy.
Interesting.
Yeah. And their lifespan is currently unknown. But it is suspected that they are a long-lived species because typically animals that live way down deep have low metabolisms, and so they mature very slowly and have long lifespans.
That makes sense.
So, like I said, these are the giant isopods. So, think like a roly-poly or a woodlouse that's on steroids.
I don't know what a woodlouse is, so I'm just going to imagine a roly-poly.
Yeah, so they can get over a foot long.
Ugh. I don't. Well, it's not that bad. It's not like they're going to attack you. So yeah. I mean, it's okay. I'm just, if it looks like a, I don't like that face. If it looks like a roly-poly, I'm just going to be like, oh, it's a roly-poly.
Yeah. Like I said, I picked this one because it's the largest isopod on Earth.
Okay. Yeah. What if it was on your face? That would be awful.
Yeah. And so these guys are carnivorous and are primarily scavengers.
Okay.
Because deep down below, there's not much food, so you eat whatever you find.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like whale carcasses?
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. One study actually found that most of these isopods' stomach contents were composed of fish, cephalopods, and decapods, which are basically crabs in their relatives.
Are cephalopods that thing that the hammerhead is called?
No, that's a cephalofoil.
Ugh, my gosh.
Cephalopods are
Squid and stuff?
Squid, okay, octopus, okay. Cuttlefish.
Okay.
And other ones that don't fit the mold. There's some cool ones. Yeah. And like you mentioned, they have been observed feeding on whale carcasses.
Gross. But it makes sense. I mean, that's what they're... That's what's there.
Yeah, and even though they are primarily scavengers, they have also been seen feeding on sessile and slow-moving invertebrates.
Do they eat them while they're still alive?
I don't know, maybe.
Ew.
But yeah, so they've been seen eating things like echinoderms and tunicates. Tunicates are like this little, small invertebrate. They're actually one of the invertebrates most closely related to us, because they're actually in our phylum, Chordata.
They're eating mini us's?
Yes.
A roly-poly is eating many asses. You heard it here. That is 100% scientifically factual.
Yes. But yeah. They're kind of cool. They're like, they kind of look like a little sponge, except sometimes they squirt water out. Because they're filter feeders and they squirt out water. I took one off a python one and it was like, spurt.
Okay, we're going to have to get a picture of that thing because I don't know what you're talking about, but okay.
Oh, but these guys are so cool in other ways because they're like a lot of the terrestrial isopods, too. So females actually have a little brood pouch on their underbelly.
Okay.
Yes, it's called a marsupium.
Like a marsupial, like a little pouch. Okay.
Yes. And they keep their eggs in there until they're fully developed.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And then do they just spit them out into the universe? How does that work?
Basically. Yeah, okay. They'll have about 20 to 30 eggs in the marsupium at a time. It also has the largest egg of any marine invertebrate. It's about a half an inch in diameter.
That's really big for something that's like a foot-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're very devoted mothers, so they're kind of like octopuses. They won't eat while they're in this brooding phase. and they will actually bury themselves to hide from predators. And also by doing that, they reduce the energy consumption.
The what consumption?
Energy consumption. Oh, they burn less calories.
Gotcha, okay.
By just not moving.
By just chilling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when the young hatch, they're about 3 inches long.
Oh. And do they just go off on their own immediately?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, how they'll just stop moving, that's in part to they have an incredibly low metabolism. There are a few in aquariums, and they've had a few where they went as long as 4 years without eating.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And when they do find food, they will gorge themselves to the point where they can't move. Because down in the deep blue, you don't know when your next food is, so you eat as much as you can.
When you can, okay.
Yeah. And because of the different levels of seafloor they've been found, there is some evidence suggests they are vertical migrators, which are basically animals that move up and down the water column.
Interesting.
Yes. Probably just for food availability, because they've been found in waters as shallow as 550 feet deep.
So shallow.
Yes. For them, it is.
I'm joking. But for them, yes. Compared to where they usually are.
Yes. And like pill bugs, they will roll up into a ball to protect themselves.
Oh my gosh! Mm-hmm. That's so cute!
Yeah. And their eyes are what's called compound eyes, where it's just basically a bunch of lenses all together. Am I boring?
Is that kind of like spiders?
Spiders, or like insects. Bees?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. And they can have over 4,000 lenses.
Why? Why do they need all those?
Let's see. To detect any kind of light or movement.
Okay.
Yeah. Because they also have a reflective layer at the back of the eye called a tapetum, which basically is this kind of iridescent membrane that reflects light, so the eyes have a second chance at catching the light.
Huh.
Same thing in cats.
Okay.
Although, because they live where there's basically no light, they probably rely more so on chemoreception to find food and navigate.
Is chemoreception like sensing movement?
Chemoreception is basically smell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It.
They smell underwater. That's weird.
Sharks do it.
I mean, it makes sense because like they're built to live underwater. Yeah. Like we would drown.
And
but
this is where they start sounding like something from a horror movie.
Oh no.
Because they have four sets of jaws.
Why?
To.
Do they are they like the monsters that like go out? Like, you know, there's like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like the ones that go out. It's like a flower, you know? Like like this?
I don't know what. Anyway.
Moving on.
Their first pair of legs are actually modified to assist with feeding.
Just like shovel it in.
Yes, just like well, that's the cool thing with like I don't know if it's the same thing with isopods, but like insects, they have these things called maxilla, I believe it's called.
Okay.
And they're like little fingers to hold the food, but there's also chemoreceptors on there just to make sure it's good for them to eat.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yes, we need those, or else we'd be eating a lot less and healthier foods than
we'd
do.
Never eat anything.
Yes. But these guys are an example of what is called deep sea gigantism.
Okay.
Which is basically animals that live far in the deep blue get to giant sizes. Another example would be giant squid.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Yep. And they're not quite sure why deep sea gigantism happens, but there's a couple hypotheses about it.
Okay.
One of them is that the low temperature results in lower metabolism. That leads to longer lives, and therefore they grow throughout their lives, so they get bigger.
Okay.
Yeah. Another hypothesis is that the large size with lower surface area is better for thermoregulation. You lose less body heat.
Okay.
And then less food will delay sexual maturity, and so mature faster, similar to the first one. And then large size could also be an adaptation to deal with the high water pressure that they have to deal with.
Yeah, that would make sense.
And they do not have any natural predators due to their thick exoskeleton and the fact that they have very little meat on them.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But I have actually seen videos of these when they get caught in these traps of attacking sharks. Like small sharks, they're in the same cage, and then they'll just go for their face.
Oh no!
Yeah.
I don't like it. The poor little shark. I'm on the shark side.
The shark's still bigger, but.
I'm on the shark side. That's like something out of Alien or something where it's just like a touch.
But the thing
face.
Is, like, I think when you look at them, they look like the cross between a roly poly and a stormtrooper.
Okay.
Like, if you
I
look
cannot
at their face,
wait to
it
see these.
Kind of looks like it.
I
That's
cannot
what I
wait
think.
To see these. Okay. That sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm. Also, there is at least one aquarium. It's in the Keys, I believe.
Okay.
And they actually have a giant isopod touch tank. I want to go to it so I can pet them.
I have never been to an aquarium in the Keys. I went to a turtle rescue.
Oh, yeah?
But I did not go to an aquarium. Mm. Turtle rescue was cool. Yeah. But yeah, that's... Of course you want to pet a giant isopod instead of like a cute little fluffy thing.
I like invertebrates. They're cool.
Okay.
Yeah. And occasionally you can see them on nautiluslive.org when they're doing their expeditions.
Okay.
And these guys have not been assessed by the IUCN Red List.
Okay.
But they have found a few specimens that have plastic in their stomachs.
Oh, man, all the way down there?
Yep.
Maybe because they're going after the whales and the whales have eaten it.
Possibly. And then breeding females have been getting caught more frequently by deep sea trawl nets.
Why are we even trawling in the deep sea?
Because we can't find the food up higher.
We are the absolute worst. I cannot wait for this genetic meat to be grown so we can stop killing everything. Oh, also, so random, but I got the different... I thought I got the same tuna that I liked last time. It's not. And I've also realized I do not like skipjack. I thought I had skipjack and liked it, and then I got it, and I was like, I can't even finish this. So I guess I do... Is albacore bad? Should I not be eating albacore?
Albacore is better than, like, yellowtail.
Okay. So I can stick to albacore.
Yeah. I can look it up on the app later.
Yeah, please let me know, because I don't want to be doing something bad, but, like...
I know albacore and skipjack are the better ones.
Okay, cool. Because... Yeah. Skipjack, I have decided, I'm like, nope, this is not, I don't enjoy this. This is nasty. Anyway, this in no way segues, as per usual lately. But are you ready, Casey? What didn't the rodent, let's try again, take two. What did the rodent say as he was leaving work?
What did the rodent say?
Mm-hmm.
I have no clue.
Wow, it's been a long day. I could really go for a drink.
Go for a drink? What?
Gopher.
Oh.
Go for a drink.
Awful.
Animal Addicts Podcast, Casey. The podcast. Why did I not think of that till now? Anyway. All right, well... We are a mess this week. I think people should drink every time we yawn in this episode. Like, between the two of us, we have both... I'm about to yawn again. We have both yawned so much. We definitely need caffeine drips. It's really bad. Okay. It is your turn for the challenge, Casey.
Yes.
What have you decided we're doing today?
I decided we need to do some redemption.
Okay.
And go back to one of our alphabet challenges.
Okay, which one?
The one in which we will play off of the last letter of the animal we first named.
Okay. All right. We have to pick our first letter. Let's do the thing again. I have a writing implement. Let me move it. And I'll just leave this here. Sorry for paper noises, everybody. Okay, Casey, we're both going to pick a number between 1 and 26. And then we're both going to say it at the same time. Are you ready? Do you have your number?
Yes.
A 5, 6, 7, 8, 8.
7.
7? Is that what you're going with? So 15?
Yeah.
Oh, I should have written out the alphabet first. O? I think it's O.
Yeah, I was close.
Okay, you were close, actually. Okay, so we're starting with O, and then we're going whatever thing. You always say nose goes, so you're going first. We've just decided this. Okay? This is happening.
Okay.
We're doing 2 minutes. You're doing it with your phone because we don't trust mine.
Yeah.
We're going to see how many we do. I'm going to tally how many we do.
Oh, I did.
You're crazy. This is fascinating content right now. This is just absolutely amazing. Let's see if we can do this without yawning, hopefully. Oh, and we still can't repeat, right? We can't repeat anything except for maybe if we repeat something from last week, but we should still try not to do that.
Okay.
We're going to end on E again all the time. We're going to be so screwed.
Okay.
You're going first.
I will start as soon as...
Your starting letter is O, and it can't be octopus. Ready?
Yes.
Go.
Okay. Do we use Okapi a lot?
We'll say Okapi.
Okapi.
I think we did use Okapi, but whatever. You said isopod, so I can't say that. Can I just say Island Fox? Or does it have to be Channel?
It's Island Fox.
Okay, great. Island Fox.
Zolishin Quintley.
Okay, that one will let us go because that's the only one I didn't realize that I was doing that to you. Oh, no, it's her eye. Damn it. Does it count if it's the second part of a dog breed name? Shiba Inu. Oh, Italian Greyhound.
Okay.
D. That's good. That's D. A good letter. Oh, shit. How many have we done so far?
Dragon Gubby. What
the fuck is that? Is that a fish?
Yep.
Does that have a fucking eye?
No, why?
Okay, good. I think we've used yak. Yellowfin tuna. We didn't use
there
that.
There you go. Tuna. A. American bison.
N. Okay. A. Neon tetra.
A again.
Oh, sorry.
Anatolian Shepherd.
I used that last time.
Dang it.
I mean, technically, I only used it last time, so you can use it.
Okay.
Okay. So D, so I've used Dalmatian, I've used Dachshund. Did you say Dingo recently? You've probably said it before.
Probably.
A Dwarf Gourami.
Okay.
Okay.
I.
Oh, sorry. There must be fish.
Oh my gosh.
I'm also going to have to listen back to this since I don't have the count right.
Dang it.
Oh, we died. We did not do well at all.
No.
I'm going to have to listen back to see if we actually... I think I missed one, but I think we only have 8, maybe 9.
Gosh. Why can't I think of anything about the eye?
We did bad.
Okay, I wanted to look up eyes real quick.
Okay, that's cheating if we do this again.
It won't be for a while.
Okay, fine.
Also, I can't even remember a thing after
2 days. Also, you could have said X-ray tetra. I'm just saying.
I think I used that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did we? Oh, okay. This is the problem. We're going to have to get... I have to, like, compile what we've said before.
Ibis.
We said ibix before. I said it last time.
I've never said ibis, though.
Nope, we haven't said ibis, I don't think.
Injury. What is that? It's a lemur.
What are these other things? I don't know what any of those are.
Impala, it's an antelope.
Oh, impala's an eye?
Yeah.
I don't think we've said that. We could have said that.
Inchworm.
Oh my gosh. We both should have known that. A 5-year-old would know that one.
Oh my gosh.
We're terrible. Anyway.
I can't even imagine what an inchworm is in my head.
So I hope, folks, that you did better than we did. Because that was maybe our worst challenge yet.
Yes.
I think that was our worst challenge yet.
I should have just gone with my other ideas. Didn't like, we use my name.
Didn't we do like 20-something when we did this the first time?
I think
we did. This is terrible. Anyway, what a way to end the podcast. Oh, man. Okay, we're going to have to redeem ourselves. That was terrible.
It was pitiful.
That was really bad. Okay, well, folks, you know what I want to do? I want to get a guest sometime and have them have to do it. I bet they'd beat us.
I think there's also an animal called an indigo fish.
Probably.
Oh, my gosh.
There's probably a ton of birds, too. We're just terrible.
I'm not good with birds. Which is odd because that's like the second, I'm pretty sure that's the second most diverse group of vertebrates.
You're so sciencey. Whatever.
I don't even deal with vertebrates much.
Or there's probably a bunch of like Indian something too.
Indian peafowl.
There you go. See? Look at you. Anyway. So, what a great ending to this, the second to last week in October. And the Atlantic Ocean. One more week in the Atlantic Ocean and October and Halloween-y. And then we move on to Europe for November.
You know, I was just thinking of a great costume.
What?
The Sanderson sisters.
Oh my gosh. I have two friends and I. We want to do it so bad, but we're a little late on that.
Yeah.
But I love that movie so much.
I watched it the other night.
It's so great. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the meme that it's like, when you're a teenager, you want to be Sarah? And then you, in like your 30s, you want to be Winifred because she's Winifred. Yes, I love Winifred. And then, oh God, what's the other one's name?
You know what I learned? Because on Freeform, they actually had these little pop-up info things.
Really?
Yeah, and it's like the one where Winifred sings, "I'm going to put a spell on you."
Yeah.
That originally wasn't going to be in there.
What?
Yeah, the one.
It's like my favorite thing in that movie.
Yeah, there was somebody that came on, and then he introduced it, and then it became part of the movie.
It's so great.
Yeah.
Also fun times, my one friend and I, because I don't know if this really happened before Google was a big thing. Maybe. You didn't know lyrics. You just heard what you heard, and that's what it was, because you couldn't verify. So in that song, we used to think it was, "I'll say it's a pie. I'll maybe up and die. Hey, comma, you're a comma."
I know. I was like, I've watched that so many times, I didn't know the lyrics. But then I watched it on Freeform, and they had a little pop-up things, and they had this little pop-up bottle, spell-a-thon or something.
Yeah.
And it's like it had the lyrics going on.
Nice. Did it have a little bouncing ball too?
I don't think so.
Nice. I love that too. But yeah, that's what we would say is the like, "I'll say it's a pie. I'll maybe up and die. Hey, comma, you're a comma." Have you also seen, this is so off topic, but at least this one has to do with an animal. Have you seen, it's a like meme and it's literally like a comma, 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 and then a, what kind of lizard would be next? A chameleon!
Oh my god.
Come a come a come a come a come a chameleon!
We used to have a coworker that would do that whenever I was carrying a chameleon.
Chameleon. Oh my gosh, and do you remember? It is probably my favorite commercial of all time. I'm gonna have to see if I can find it and post it. It's for some energy drink, and it's the, is it Lionel Richie song? All night long, all night. But it's all nocturnal animals. And it's the best ever. There's like a lemur or something, or maybe it's like a bush baby or something. And then there's like three owls, and they literally go like, no one can see this, but all night. It's so great.
I'm pretty sure I know what you're talking
I have about. To find that and post it for our listeners who are too young to have seen that. Because it was, I think it's my favorite commercial of all time. It's so funny. Anyway. Wow. Rabbit trailing right till the end, as per usual. So, yes. Well, that brings us to the end of the 12th episode. As always, we're your hosts, Allie.
And Casey.
And we will catch you on the next episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast. Spoon.